And the funny thing was, you see, in my case, you see, when I bought the Scotsman, I had this idea, which apparently that was completely revolutionary thinking. It didn't occur to me that it was. I said, you know, I'd like to keep the engine running. And the immediate reaction was, well, you can't do that. You can't have a private engine running around on a nationalised railway. To which I replied, why not? And I'd met through the Eastern Region Board some of the people who were on the board, you know, pretty high powered in the city. And I got an introduction to a very, very good solicitor in the city and put it to him, you see. And he said, well, it was worth having a go, you know. And they had drawn up quite officially this firm of solicitors, and the chief solicitor of the British Railways Board had drawn up heads of agreement, which I didn't actually entitle me to do anything, but all the machinery was there, so that if I decided I wanted to do this, that or the other, the machinery mechanism was all there in place for me to do it. And in terms of wanting to keep the engine running, the first proviso they made, first stumbling block I came up against really, was the question of where I was going to keep the locomotive. You see, they said you've got to have somewhere to keep it. So it was just the time, beginning of 1963, the time I bought the engine, that the hiving off happened. You know, all the hiving off, as they called it, hotels and workshops and God knows what. So the workshops that had been, to that point, part of the Eastern Region at Doncaster, suddenly became part of the workshops. So, of course, there was a new works manager, who was a chap called Barker Wyatt, who's probably still around. But anyway, you can picture the situation. I managed to get hold of Beeching's deputy, who was a very nice chap called Sir Stuart Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Now, he was a great guy. I mean, he didn't worry at all about the idea of buying a steam locomotive or whatever, or trying to run it. He thought it was rather fun. But he didn't bother to tell the boss. I mean, he thought this was, you know, something just that, you know, that he could handle on his own all right. So that was fine. And so sure enough, I've often tried to picture the situation. I mean, a brand new organisation in terms of who's running the workshops. And there's poor old Barker Wyatt, or poor young Barker Wyatt, getting his chief on the phone, I suppose, to Stuart Mitchell. I wonder how on earth he reacted. I mean, Stuart Mitchell ringing up from London to this chap in Doncaster, could you find somewhere to keep an A3 Pacific? So Barker Wyatt, I mean, he's no fool. I mean, he's got a new boss and a new job. So obviously he said, well, I'm sure I could if it's necessary. Anyway, to cut a long story short, they did, and they found me this old engine weighhouse, as you probably know, just off the south end of number 8 platform, as it was then. And just put a little bit of an extension on so the engine could get in and tender. It's like a private lock-up garage, perfectly ridiculous.